Let's pray. Lord, we thank you truly for this time to be in your word, this time to learn what it is that you have for us, whether it be challenging or encouraging. We thank you for your love and how you have given us a lamp unto our feet. And we pray that as we walk our path, we trust in you to lead and guide us to where you want us to go. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Numbers 21, verses, I have 4 to 9, right? From Mount Hor, they set out by the way of to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it up on a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I love the Bible, and I love the stories, and stories like this. This is a surprising one. It's an odd one. Many of you may have heard this one read. It's one that's mentioned very briefly in the New Testament, in John chapter 3, right before John 3:16, you know, "For God so loved the world," that verse, right before that. As the serpent was lifted up on the pole, so Jesus is lifted up as forgiveness of sins, mentioned in that kind of past passage. So let's set the scene here for a moment. The Israelites have been wandering around the desert for 40 years. They're tired, obviously, and they want to get to the promised land. Now, there was a little tiff with Edom, and the easiest way to the promised land was to cut through Edom. But something happened, and God required them to go around Edom. Now, to go around Edom places them in more wilderness. It's like that, if any of you have ever driven in Pittsburgh for any amount of time, you understand how terrible detours are. I mean, how many times have you gone into Pittsburgh and you say, "I need to get right there. I can see it. It's just right there." And then 45 minutes, you're there in the parking lot, finally. They're tired. They want to get to where they're going. And the Israelites, through the stories that you read in Exodus and Numbers, they're contentious people. Not just contentious, but they're vocal about their contentiousness. Whenever something's not happening right, whenever it's going wrong, they let God and they let Moses know about it. We have no water to drink, at which they did. They had water. They just didn't have as much water as they would have liked. We have no food to eat. They did have food. They had manna. But again, like I mentioned with the kids, you eat the same thing over and over and over and over again. You're going to get tired of it. I knew of a guy that went on a diet for 40 days. He ate nothing but hot dogs for every meal. He lost a lot of weight, so I guess that's good. But manna, every day, every meal, except for they did have quail, and I think it was on Fridays or something, but once a week they had quail. Every day, every meal for 40 years. I mean, sure, you'd be a little upset with that too. And they're tired of it. We're tired of this despicable bread, they said. So they did have water. They did have food. They were just unhappy with the amount of water they had, and they were unhappy with the kind of food that they had. But they were living. Not only were they living, but the Israelites were also thriving and growing as they were traveling the desert. They didn't have any home. Their home was just on the other side of Edom. They just wanted to get to this promised land, but they had to go around it. They're fed up. And as we know people like this, when people get fed up, and sometimes we are that person, we let people know that we're fed up. And they let God know, and they let Moses know that we're fed up. You guys don't take care of us very well. We don't have what we want. Life is terrible. Woe is me. This is awful. I can't stand it anymore. We might as well die. The Israelites, during this period, seem to end a lot of their things with that, you know, don't want to live anymore. God was angry with them and said, okay. And then serpents came through, and when you got bit by a serpent, you died. Now, for me, that part's kind of hard to swallow. It's not always the kind of God that I think of when I think of God in my life and in the New Testament. But there's an important part to the story where the serpents play an important role in this. And it's when, after the serpents had come, the Israelites went to Moses and to God and said, "We're sorry. We understand our sin. You have taken care of us. You have provided us for all the water we need and with all the food that we need. You've brought us thousands of miles for 40 some odd years and have protected us. And we're lucky to be alive and in as good a shape as we're in." He said, "We're sorry, and we're wrong. Please ask God to take away the serpents." This is where it gets interesting. Did God take the serpents away? God didn't take the serpents away. The serpents were still there in their midst. God provided a way for them to survive the serpents, however. And that way to survive the serpents was Moses was to fashion a bronze serpent and put it up on a pole, presumably a very tall pole that everyone, we're talking thousands of people within this camp, should be able to see. Should they get bit, they look up at the pole, at the serpent on the pole, and then live. An act of faith saved them. An act of obedience. So their sin was disobedience towards God, and what would save them was an act of obedience. Weird obedience, mind you, looking up at a pole would cure you of poison, but obedience nonetheless, and it worked. They were saved as long as they obeyed God and looked up at that pole. It's an odd story, but it's a story that has some very direct and meaningful parallels in our lives today. For how many of us are completely obedient to God? How many of us instead have struggles in our lives? Things that we deal with on a daily basis sometimes. And sometimes those struggles are external and sometimes they're in internal. Paul prayed a prayer in the Bible. He had what was called a thorn in his side. Three times the thorn in his side afflicted him. We have no idea what this thorn is. But in his life, it would pop up every so often. And each time it popped up, he would pray to God, "Lord, take this thorn from me." God's response was no. "For my strength is sufficient for you." Again, we don't know what this thorn is, but many of us can relate to Paul's feelings. How many of you, and this is a rhetorical question, how many of you have what you could call a thorn in your side? Something something internal or external, but something that you struggle with, you just wish would go away. Addiction is an obvious answer for many. Just something that once was a good thing, and I'm not talking drugs, alcohol here, which is when we think about addiction are the top two that come up. But addiction can be anything. It can be food. It can be sleep. It can be work. It can be exercise. Things that were once good that now become detrimental. Because again, we're a people of limits. And when we break those limits, there's consequences. You could enjoy food, but you can also become addicted to it. And you eat and eat and eat. And something bad happens to you in your life, and then in order to make you feel better, you eat. And then you no longer eat to live, but now you live to eat. Or it could be anything. And then you pray to God, Lord, take this away from me. Take my desire for the food away. Take my addiction away from me. Help me to be free from this. Or let's make it more general. Lord, I sin. I'm a sinner. Help me to stop being a sinner. Take my sins away from me. How many here can say that God has positively taken away your desire to do sins? Or taken away your ability to sin? Nobody. We still are screw-ups on occasion. We still mess up. But what God has given us the ability to do, or what God has provided for us, is every single situation in which we mess up, there's always a way out. There's always another decision we could have made. There's always another path we could have walked. There's always that moment when we're about to yell at someone and say something we know we're going to regret. There's always that moment where something in us says, don't do that. Don't do that. And so that choice exists. God gives us the opportunity to not. But God also gives us the free will. Because God doesn't want robots. People blindly following him because we have to, because that's the way we're programmed. God gives us free will to choose to love and to choose to be obedient. And like the serpent, where if the people got bit, they looked up. So we too, in the moments of our lives, when we get bit by that bug that makes us desire to do things we know we shouldn't, Jesus is there upon the cross and sitting at the right hand of the Father, reminding us how much we are loved, how much we need that love in our lives to share that love with others in that moment where we want to sin instead. We have a choice of obedience in that moment also. Do we look up in Christ and say, yes, Lord, I'll follow that path? Or do we look up in Christ and say, no, not this time? God didn't take away the serpents, but God did give them a way out. I do praise God that as we're in this first Sunday of Lent, this journey where we are reminded of our weaknesses, but also of God giving us the strength, that we have someone, we have Jesus Christ to give us the strength to be able to make those decisions that are best for us in our lives. But I also praise God that we have Christ who forgives us when we don't and helps us along, picks us back up, says, I love you. And gives us another chance. That I thank God for dearly.